96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Rockstone was my pillar, could not find place for sleep. But them empty, we have to find food for eat. Every day we terrorized by sweat and police. When they think them a strong man, they think them a bait. From them a black and white and Indian and chief. From the first to the third straight up the seventh street. One thing in our mind, if we jump to the base, I make it in our life, I inherit that to make them clear. Self-employed cannot get clear.
All right, folks, welcome to the Political Review. Yes, yes, yes. My name is Kyle Quincy Shireen Von Cedric Parker, a.k.a. Quincy Parker, a.k.a. Kyle Parker, a.k.a. K. Quincy Parker. There are a number of names that I go by, but only one of me. And today I'm very excited because today I get to talk politics with one of my favorite political conversationalists, and I get to talk about a subject that I personally feel very invested in. The fact is, before we bring our guests in, I just want to set the stage a bit. The fact is that political season, which has already begun, is run in large part by women. Bahamian women are the political machine. Bahamian women get out to vote. Bahamian women canvass the neighborhoods. Bahamian women organize the constituency associations. Bahamian women even, by and large, are the ones in those constituency associations who pick the candidates. And yet, out of the 39 members of parliament, even though the majority of the country is female, the female representation in the House of Assembly, which is supposed to be representative, is Gladys Hannah Martin, Lanisha Rowe, and Miriam Rectly Emanuel, and Shaunnell Ferguson. And I could it's that limited a number, and when you go up to the Senate, you can add a few more ladies. But the fact is, we use women in our country to further our political agendas. But then when it comes time to enacting those political agendas, we don't seem to believe that women are suitable tools for political power. And one of the things that I find fascinating about this is that women, Bahamian women, seem to be the ones leading the charge against
women in power. That's right.
And so it is fascinating to me that in a country that is majority female, where the matriarch, Grammy is the most important person in the family, because Grammy is the one holding down all the kids. Grammy is the one holding down all the grandkids, because sometimes you can't find daddy, or daddy might be out of work, or daddy might have issues. Everybody living in Grammy house and counting on Grammy money. So why Grammy can't have political power? This is something that drives me bonkers. And so today, I am excited to have the co-chairs of a political action committee, founded under the guise of Women United, a nonprofit organization founded by Podesta Moore in 2018, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And so what I want to do today is welcome the new co-chairs of that political action committee, Charmy Farrington Austin and Vanessa Scott, who are going to talk with us today about Bahamian politics and women in those politics. Ladies, welcome very much. Welcome to the Political Review.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for having us, Lindsay.
Ladies, gentlemen, you will already have heard Vanessa Scott chiming in. She seems to agree with me that it's women who are not holding women back, but not putting women forward. Let's put it that way. So let's start with you then, Ms. Scott. Before we get into the specifics of the Political Action Committee and what it is you're expecting to do, so we've had my view as a man of the political situation regarding women in this country. But I would like to have your view on the subject, independent of my own, before we get into specifics, just so we can make sure that we're on the same page or get on the right page.
Well, Kyle, it has always been my belief that women tend to keep women back. We do a lot of the background work, like you say, for politicians. As a matter of fact, some politicians cannot make it without a woman. And we even write some of their speeches, believe it or not. And yet, when it comes to being in the forefront, for some reason, even if we make it into the House of Assembly, they don't feel that our worth or our value is good enough to sit around a table. And we are at that stage where that needs to stop. We need to move forward and we need to accept that women have a lot to offer when it comes to decision making. And I think we're ready for that.
Okay, so let me put some statements to you to get your response. And Sharmi Farrington Austin, of course, you're welcome to chime in as well.
Of course.
Statement number one. The reason that most women don't vote or will not vote for a woman is because women are not supposed to be in leadership. Please respond.
Well, Vanessa, do you want me to go first, or you?
You go first, Sharmi.
Oh, great, thanks. That is a cultural, I believe, myth. Of course, it goes to our cultural background, our upbringing, and particularly in countries like our country, the Bahamas and the Caribbean, where predominantly women are just seen to be as helpmates in terms of domestic helpers, in terms of, you know, arm adornment, making our man look good. That is usually the view. But I can say that is false, unequivocally. We can see even from looking at the countries in the world where there are women leadership. I take you one that is often quoted, and I was reading an article the other day about her, Jacinda Ardern, of Jacinda Ardern is a world leader that the world has their eye on of New Zealand. The world is saying, wow, what has been missing from the world really is female leadership. When they look at how Prime Minister Ardern has handled the COVID pandemic and a number of circumstances that faced her country, the world is now accepting the fact that women belong around the table as co-equals. And I think one of the things we have to really deal with is this whole issue whenever we start talking about women coming around the table and being equal partners with men, the idea that is trust out there, or persons tend to spin it and say, look, these women come in to take over. They're not supposed to be leading. Most of the times when persons are talking about that, of course, as I said, it comes from a cultural and a spiritual misunderstanding of the Bible, especially where persons are saying that, oh, in the Bible, it says that women are not to lead. And I often point people to the fact that when you look at the scriptures, if we were to go there, Quincy. I know you as Quincy, so please pardon me if I call you Quincy. Kyle, if we go there, we would see that whereas Paul may have made some indication, when we go to another man, James, which was Paul's view, James had a completely different view of female leadership. You would see he begins his chapter by deferring to a female leader in the church. And I think we sometimes take those perception of what we have spiritually and bring it into the workplace, try to bring it in the political arena. As you correctly said in your opening, I almost said, amen, we can just go home. Women are the backbone of most political party. In fact, if we look at our electorate, we will see that more than, I believe it's perhaps close to 55% now, but at least a minimum of 51% when we last had it, of women comprise the electorate. So we are, I would argue, the biggest constituents in the election for the government of the Bahamas. I will end by saying this, Quincy, and let Vanessa chime in. You would see as we move forward, my thing is the biggest challenge, which has caused us not to be represented, it really relates back to the system, particularly around the cabinet table. I feel that we need to have a changing of the system, which will enable the prime minister or the electorate to vote for the cabinet separate than that of the executive, the legislature. So we need to have the executive, if not appointed, elected separately. And I think once we take care of those kinds of systematic changes that has to occur, then we will see that women quite rightly belong around the table and that women can lead, and that it is a very false statement to say that women should not lead.
And I actually feel that some ministries are better led by women. And we need to realize that women, we can empathize better. We can even stretch it out. Everybody knows that. And so I think we need to really change the mindset of the voting populace. We need to change the mindset of the men. And it's about time. It won't happen this election, maybe even not the next one, but we have to get this movement going so that we can change some of those blue seats pink. We must. We must.
I don't hear.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to change the blue seats and make them pink. Hallelujah.
Well, that's our hallmark statement. Can see that's our hallmark statement. That's our mandate. Not just some of the blue seat, but our ultimate goal is to change the blue seat. You would know that every time the present prime minister comes on, he's sitting in that blue seat. And we always send him notice, we come in for that seat. We're going to change that blue seat into a pink seat.
All right. Well, okay. So part of the challenge then, obviously, is cultural, right? We are a country that professes to hold to a certain religious viewpoint that in the most cursory reading would place women in a subordinate position, but first of all, every true Christian knows that that's a bunch of foolishness. There is no passage in the Bible that says a woman is less than a man. There's no passage in the Bible that talks about a woman's unsuitability to lead, but certainly not in the New Testament. There are particular cultural references that are made as to why women weren't leading in Israel or in certain bits and times and places in Hebrew history. But even in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when you look at Judges, Judges 4 and 5, I believe, talks about Deborah, who was not only a judge, but a prophet. Miriam is one of the people in Exodus. Right? Then you have, what was her name? Phoebe, who was a deacon, referred to by Paul, who had to take his book, take Paul's letters to the church in Rome. Then there was Lydia. There's Mary Magdalene and Mary Bethany, both disciples and witnesses of Christ. And then, of course, there's a whole book in the Bible about Esther, who is a fearless leader, not only of her people, but of the people of God. And it's like the Old Testament, if that is where you want to go to say that you should subjugate women, the Old Testament itself is full of examples of women in positions of both spiritual and temporal leadership. So this idea that we have that somehow spiritually women are not supposed to lead is a lie from the pit of hell. And it's a lie from the pit of hell that is perpetuated by people who intend to keep women subjected. And I find it horrifying that the women in the country are the ones who are enabling this particular lie to be told and passed from generation to generation. My daughter is 16 years old. There is no universe in which I expect her to be somehow less than any other individual just by virtue of the fact that she is a girl and a woman, right?
But exactly.
The society in which she is growing up has so many different ways of telling her, sit down, sit small, we can call you when we want you. You don't have to assert yourself. And when you assert yourself, you're being diggity, and we ain't need none of that from you. And I tell her, listen, child, the only person you got to worry about is me and your mom. I don't worry about nobody else. But it is, I mean, as I say, even before we get to the politics of it,
the cultural issue
has to be addressed and has to change.
Yeah, and it comes through, Prince Kyle, it comes through education.
Charmy, call me Quincy, man. That's how everybody knows
Quincy,
me.
Okay, yes, Quincy. It comes through educating the public. What you just did was take us through a biblical exposition of biblical stories. And a lot of our people, the scripture says the people suffer because of a lack of knowledge. You made mention of two persons in the Bible, Mary Magdalene and Mary, Bethany. And there is a very interesting scripture regarding Mary and Martha in the Bible that I think illustrates the point that women don't necessarily have to be in the kitchen. There's a very explicit scripture that referenced the fact that Mary and Martha, they were with Jesus and his disciples. Mary decided to sit with the disciples as one of them and was listening and sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha, being her sister, became very irritated and said to her, why are you sitting and you're not helping me out with the chores in the house? Jesus then responded to Martha and said, leave her alone. She has chosen the greatest and her story will be told in the future. So you see, Jesus himself sanctioned the fact that there was more to a woman than just domestic. And while we don't put that down because it is necessary, it is an important aspect of being a wife and a mother, that's fine. But we're saying as women that we are able to come into the workplace like Aquila and Priscilla, work together as joint partners with our men and move in particular this country forward. We are equally talented. We are equally, we have equal competence, not surpassed, because many women in their discipline are clearly experts in their field, in their area. In politics especially, we have the experience. We've been working the field. We've been, as Vanessa said, writing the campaign speech. We've been organizing the campaign. We know politics, and all we are saying is give us our fair chance. Like the daughter who asks them, please let us have the inheritance that our father left of the land, Lot's daughter, you see? And so all we're saying is give us a fair chance to sit around the table. Fix the system so that the country can have a balanced representation of men and women as God intended it. Remember that it was God who looked in the garden and said, it's not good for man to be alone, right? And so he understood that man needed a woman. And any environment, Quincy, I submit, without a woman is completion. So the house of assembly without the woman, the balance of women, the cabinet without the requisite balance of women, it's deficient. And so all we are saying in Women United and our political action group committee is, listen, give us a chance. We will train the women. We will make sure that all of these points that you tend to bring up, oh, women are not tough enough, or women are not trained. We're going to be able to go out there, identify women, train them, make sure they have the necessary training and resources so that those excuses fall away. And I can tell you, I can point you to a number of women right now that can run any government, not just in the Bahamas, but in the world at large. We have the talent here. We just don't have the system that accommodate them.
So in 2006, I started working at the Bahama Journal / Love 97 News. And one of the stories that I wrote and followed between 2006 and 2008 was a series of stories I wrote about the gender pay gap in the Bahamas. And the pay gap was evident in that you had women at the top of industry who outnumbered men, but yet men were making more than women, on the order of 30% more, right? I saw in preparing for the show, I saw that gap has not lessened in the last 10, 15 years. So even though the number of women at the top of almost every industry that you can count, even though they outnumber men at the top of the industry, the men still are out-earning the women. And you know, you have any number of cultural uses for this. But eventually, this country is going to have to wake up and accept, and I mean women in this country, because the men are getting over, and as long as they getting over, they ain't gonna rock the boat. Let's be fair.
They are
having too good a time, making twice the money for doing half the work, and as long as women let them do it, I don't see how we expect anything to change. And so now we can get into Women United. And to me, this is like a breath of fresh air. This is what we need to have take root. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm trying so hard not to talk about Janet Bostwick, but there's a conversation I had.
Talk about women in politics without talking about the
name.
Yes. I can see how you could.
I had a conversation with her.
Get around that. Yeah.
And one of the things that she said to me was that it was the women who told her most frequently that she should sit down and that she couldn't be the leader of the party. I remember, if I'm remembering the conversation correctly, she had the ambition of being the leader of the party, and it was women that talked her out of it because they wouldn't support her. Now, I believe that's an accurate recollection of that conversation. And if anyone is listening and has access to the dame or the dame's records, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I remember that correctly. And so even with someone who, of her stature, who acted as the first woman to act as prime minister of the country, and so many other accolades, even her could not get the support of the constituency she represented. Forget political constituency. She couldn't get the support of the women. And this... Help me. Okay, Miss Scott, Shami Kai helped me with this, because Shami too highfalutin. You gotta help me, Vanessa Scott.
Right? Vanessa, he don't know where we're from, eh?
But you got to help me. Because Shami is a data protection commissioner and a lawyer. But you were in this picture.
It's because you didn't have on your, you don't have the cameras on and the public didn't see me when the music you had on. I'm an Angleton gal.
Yeah,
that's fine. You can be an Anglican, yeah. But Vanessa Scott in this picture is wearing this nice big orange church hat. So I know she now, like, she can talk to me about why women won't support women in this country. Why won't you do it?
I honestly feel, Kyle, that it's perhaps that little jealous gene that women be around, and for whatever reason, we fail to lift up our own. And men have taken advantage of that because if they feel threatened by a woman, if they feel that a woman is competition to them, the first thing they would do is whisper in the ear of another woman that so-and-so, okay? And that woman, not checking, you know, takes the word of the man and spreads it. And that is one of the reasons to why a lot of women do not come forward for frontline politics. Because it's just too much little nitpicking. And for whatever reason, we have to change the mindset of women. Women must support is what Women United is all about. You know, we have to go back to the suffrage movement. When those women got together, it didn't matter who you voted for, it didn't matter who you supported. Their thing was women needed the right to vote. You as a Bahamian woman needed that right to vote. They didn't care who you voted for, you know. They just wanted you to have that right. And so we must now get back to that. You know, we are in silly season now. This is political season and there's a lot of color going on. But I personally feel that just how we have different religious beliefs, and we belong to different denominations, we still serve one God. We serve one God. And so we should serve one country. And at the end of the day, the only color that should matter is the aquamarine, gold, and black. Because any legislature, anything that passes, see, legislature, Kyle, is passed by a political party or parties, but it is not passed for a political party, okay? It is passed for all Bahamians. So when we pass in these rules, we don't say, oh, that's only for the FNM, or that's only for the PLP, or this for the, it's for Bahamians. And so we need to have more women sitting there so that women's rights can, I mean, we really need to take it to the next level. And women need to remove the scale from their eyes, the scale of jealousy that, oh, where she thinks she's going, who she thinks she is. She thinks she's better than people, or she thinks she arrived. You know, we need to get beyond that and look at what can she bring to the table? How can she elevate us? What can she fight for to take this country, to take women to the next level? It's going to be a challenge, but I feel we can do it.
We're up to the task, as my sister Vanessa has said, and as she's correctly said, was to, just like the suffragette women did, and this is why Women United and the political committee is so important, we have to articulate the message. They had a cause. They know their cause was the right to vote. And so we have to clearly articulate to our women, what is our goal? We know that we have some sustainable goals, the UN and CEDAR and all those conventions that we have signed on to and that we have conformed to. And one of them says that we're committed to having a minimum of 30% women in the parliament. And so we have to articulate this course to our women across the length and breadth of the Bahamas. And when we say the Bahamas, we also must recognize that the Bahamas is just not Nassau. We have to take the message to the family islands and all our outer islands so that women are able to get on one accord. And let me tell you, Clint, when women get on one accord, I need only to remind you, it was the men who were constantly meeting, and getting nothing done. It was Effie Walks who say, listen, stop talking, take action. So yes. Oriented. She said, yes. Why do we keep coming here and talking? Let us take action. And now we know what we know as Black Tuesday. Black Tuesday is now on our history, but that was from the advice of a woman, Miss Effie Watts, an icon. And we know that once we get our woman to clearly understand, and see, if we recognize, as Vanessa said, our power, you see, the power is in the numbers. We know that politics is a numbers game. Listen, you want to see the political parties come to a standstill? Let the women of the party take a stand. Let the women of the party withdraw their labor. Let the women of the party say to their parties, listen, if you don't change your party constitution to ensure that women are around the table, if you don't give us a minimum of X amount of women candidate, that's going to be a problem, because we are no longer prepared to be on the pavement, walking up and down all night and day to continue to put our male counterparts in while we are left out. I think it was Dame Doris Johnson who says, no taxation without representation. We cannot continue to work for these parties that are dominated at the top and when at the top positions by men who go through the door and then close the door on us.
On the women, that's right.
Yeah, we have to stop it. We have just to say enough is enough. We have to get to our brothers too, because there is a partnership that has to be forged. When we're asking you to help us men, we're asking you to help your daughters. See your daughters in the role as a member of parliament. See your daughter as a future prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. It is possible.
And not only possible, but likely, and very soon to be likely. Ladies, we're going to have to take a break just now. And then we're going to have to step aside at 5 for the prime minister's national address. I'm going to ask that you both stay close. And if he ends his national address in good time, then perhaps we can pick up the conversation again on the other side and chat until 6. But we're going to take a short break right now. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how you ladies will be responsible for garnering support for the members of Women United who are offering themselves as candidates in the upcoming general election. All right?
Sure.
I could not find place for sleep, but them empty, we have to find food for eat. Every day we terrorized by soldiers and police. When the thing them a strum and the thing them a beat, from them a play cowboy and Indian and chief. From the first to the third, straight up the 7th street. One thing you know we find
a fish. Is encouraged when health officials identify that persons were exposed to an infectious disease. For COVID-19 contact tracing, persons are followed up daily while in quarantine for 14 days from the time they were exposed. This process is used in public health to further spread of disease.
This message has been brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody know it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Normalize saying things like,
Can we talk about this later after I've had some time to gather my thoughts? Or I don't have the energy to respond right now, but I'll get back to you later. Or I need space right now, but I'll reach out when I feel ready. Mental health is health too. This Mental Health Awareness Month message brought to you by Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
To me.
Don't I talk to you,
baby? Tell me why.
There may come a time when you are instructed to self-quarantine, but what does that mean? Someone who self-quarantines stays at home in one room because he or she may have been exposed to COVID-19. This person is not sick, but may or may not develop the disease during this time. This person uses a separate bathroom from others in the house. One designated person should provide care to the individual who is self-quarantining. During this time, no visitors are allowed. These steps are taken to reduce the risk of spreading the disease. Persons living alone who are required to self-quarantine cannot leave their homes. If there is a need for medication or food, a family member can assist. Otherwise, health officials and social services will ensure that persons' basic needs are met. Know the names and dosages of medications prescribed in case a refill is needed. A member of the contact tracing team will assess the individual daily via telephone. They will monitor symptoms and collect information. Let's do our part to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
This message has been brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Political Review. My name is Kyle Quincy Parker, K. Quincy Parker. Quincy is how I go. In most instances, that is what Cedric and Josephine grew me up as. That is how 98% of you know me. Kyle is the name I gave to my son, Kyle, a warrior, the great and terrible. Speaking of which, before we dive back into the show, happy anniversary to my brother Miles and his wife Deborah, and happy birthday to my sister Lindsay, and job bless to all good people. So Vanessa, Sharmi, there are apparently members of Women United who are offering themselves as candidates in the 2022 general election.
Yes.
Is that so?
Yes.
And you as members, as co-chairs of this political committee, are committed to raising funds for these people and helping them in what way? What exactly is it? It says for more successful campaigning and developing and sharing effective strategies and techniques and whatnot. So, which of the members of which parties who are offering are part of Women United?
Yes, well, we have members across the political divide. We have members from all of the major political parties, members from the PLP, as well as members from the FNM, and members also from the
DNA.
And we are invited all political parties out there. If you have candidates, we would like to hear from them. As you said before, we are going to be providing what we term resources in terms of training, making sure those women have the right training, making sure helping them message and getting their message out, the mentorship in terms of what we want to do. Quincy, as you mentioned, there are some veteran political women out there. We were privileged, I believe it was last year, just before pandemic, to honor our first political six. This committee was responsible for that. And so we want to put women like those first political six, women like Mother Cynthia, Mother Pratt. Of course, you mentioned the first first woman to be elected to the parliament, and getting these women paired up with younger candidates so that they can pour out to them. We know that sometimes when we bring them in the room, it's for a brief, and you could never get, you know, the amount of training that is needed to come into the political arena. So what we want to do, part of our strategy, is to pair these women, young women up, young candidates, political persons like Rome Atalia Johnson, who was like the first female speaker of the House, with these women who would have had political experience, and so that they're able to get the support from a political point of view, get the knowledge that is needed. We want to help them crafting their messages, making sure that, you know, even in terms of their paraphernalia, we know that the political parties, they do a lot of the, you know, the paraphernalia for the major parties, but there are the independent candidates who are also part of our committee. They do not have the resources as the major parties do. So we want to try and assist those persons with their paraphernalia, whether it be like providing copying services, having a place whereby they can come and, you know, they can sit down and they can speak to us, or we can call, like I said, those experienced women and say, listen, one of our candidates is having a problem. How she's going to be there and get on the ground in some instances with some of our female candidates too. We want to canvass with them where permitted. As I said, we have members across the political divide, and so we're able to bring that, give that support where needed. Vanessa, I'll let you add some stuff.
Okay, well, sadly, the three major political parties, when we look at the number of women that mm-hmm. has been ratified for these parties, that really only makes up 17% of the seats. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that we can't, I don't think we can do anything about it for this election, but the whole idea now is to groom women and to, like you say, ensure that they have the necessary resources, training, mentorship, etc., to put mm-hmm. themselves forward. We need to build that self-confidence. Well, of course, a woman in leadership, that is why she would have gotten to that level. But we mm-hmm. need to make sure that that confidence is concreted, because what happens is, we all know social media nowadays can be so, so cruel. And we need to also have a team. I think we spoke about that, a team to just separate the false, the fake news from the good news. And every time a fake item comes out, we need to be able to hit it and say, no, this is not what Women United stand for. We are pushing our women. So right. we just need to try and get rid of the negativity, because we hear too many negative things
about women. Yes.
About women. And 9 out of 10 times, like I say, it stems from a woman starting it. And so we are really trying to get rid of that stigma. And with the help of the women that have already served, we have, like you said, Dame, we have Cynthia Mother Pratt. We have so many that we can bring in to talk. As a matter of fact, we've already done that last year. We started that. And they've shared their experiences. They've shared when you know when to walk away, when you know what to ignore, and your family becomes a target. And so we need to make sure that we have resources to assist the families psychologically and everything, because people are cruel. People are cruel, Quincy. They are very cruel. And I think that they become even more cruel when they're threatened by your value, when they are threatened by your ability, and when they feel that you will succeed, then they become mm-hmm. even more cruel.
Yeah. Just to add to what my sister Vanessa has said with respect to the 17% the major parties have made their selection, but I want to point out to the public at large, the major parties have made their selection. We're still expecting ratifications from some of the third parties, and we know the mission of Independence has indicated that they're going to be running at least a minimum so far of 16 women. And I think the so independence.
That makes like 21%.
Yes, yes. The independence, where are the major parties? Let me say this, where are the major parties fall off? That is why it's important for Women United Political Committee to be there so that we can identify strong, independent women who are able to go out there, lobby to get the necessary funding for them. Of course, as Vanessa said earlier in our comments, working on the mindset of Bahamians to understand that we need to get away from this handout mentality, which keeps so many of our women from offering, because funding is an issue. When the populace and the electorate expect so much from the candidates, while they are competent, they are qualified, they have the empathy, you know, and the capacity to lead and become members of parliament, they don't necessarily have the finances, and this is why we need reform so badly. But we want to say that where there is a deficiency in terms of the percentage, it is our job now to go out and see how best we can supplement what the major party has put out there by convincing women out there who are competent, who have the capacity, and saying to business women, I want to talk to in particular, you may be listening to me today, there is value in you identifying a young lady or sponsoring a young lady. There may be somebody who do not want to go in politics, but they have the monies that they can assist in financing another woman. These are the kinds of things, Quincy, that our committee will be looking at, seeing and identifying those women who have the resources to see whether or not they want to sponsor a woman in particular or provide a fund. And we're hoping that the government will hear us, any government of the day, the governing parties responsible for the budget, the relevant ministry, the ministry services and gender affairs, and all those persons who have responsibility for women in politics, that a fund will be created to an extent to assist in some way female candidates. And there are organizations, Quincy, around the world, I believe, that gives to courses like that. And so we've got to go out there, find those organizations, find out where we can get the monies from so that qualified and suitable women can offer themselves.
All right, ladies, thank you very kindly. Now, one of the things that I think is critical in this conversation is that we get away from gender associations, right? Mm-hmm. One of the problems that I think a lot of women in politics have is that by and large, Bahamians think of women in a certain way. And so before you are even on the scene as an individual, you are already judged as having certain characteristics just because you're a woman, versus having other characteristics just because you're a man. And this text message that I got, I think, exemplifies that gender bias almost perfectly. So I want to read it. The man, Mr. Parker, women are more prominent in supporting politicians for the same reason they're more prominent in the church supporting the pastor, because it is more about emotion than logic. And because women love powerful men in leadership, so they flock to politicians and pastors. Men don't follow men over emotion. They do so out of respect and understanding of a vision, or even for the opportunities that may be given to them. The Bible tells man to love his wife and tell a wife to respect her husband. It didn't say the husband must respect the wife. And that's the end of that.
Therein lies a problem. Mm-hmm. If we go back to the book of Genesis, when God created man, a woman, because man needed a helpmate, we are told that he took a rib from the side of man, okay? And I look at it, that rib was for a specific reason. That was by design, so that woman could walk side by side, not behind, okay, side by side. That rib came from his side. And so we know that women, yes, they do look at women in a certain way. And that is what we need to get away from. We need to get away from that. And men like powerful women too. Some men are intimidated, and that intimidated by strong women. Men are intimidated by strong women, and so they will all jump. Some men. That's right. Some men love strong women because those strong women help them to achieve their goals, their dreams. Okay, but some men are intimidated by strong women, and so there will always be, until we can get that balance. Mm-hmm. There will always be this, you know, a little social and the cultural thing.
Yes. But
it needs to be changed.
Yeah. And can I add, Quincy, to that, dealing with the emotional aspect in which the text spoke to? This is what we always allude to. My thing to that, I always say in general, the world, we have the world that we have now, it's because people have put emotions out of the door in terms of empathy. And we say that again, that women, yes, if you're calling our empathy emotion, yes, we do come with empathy. I draw attention again to Jacinda Ardern, of course, who when I believe it was Muslims, some Muslims in her country were attacked or they suffered loss, when she adored a Muslim, she was not a practicing one, but she put on their gear and went into them. And so, yes, we are able to identify with the emotions and the circumstances that happened, because guess what? When the country, as we are currently suffering from, a lot of lack in terms of poverty, in terms of distress, in terms of people needing help, yes, it is a woman that will feel the pain of the people of its nation. It's the woman, really, if you want to call it emotion, that will show compassion and concern. A mother never goes to bed knowing that her child is not eating, you see? So a female leader will never be comfortable knowing that the country is in need of help, knowing that the men and women of this country don't have food to eat, that they don't have opportunity. Yes, we will be emotional with that, because you know what? We believe as women that we were sent here to be solutions to problems. And so that is one of the great skills that women bring. And when you do the research with those corporations and entities that are led by women, you will see that they get results. Their productivity level is high. And so, of course, I understand there are lots of myths that are out there. Women are so emotional, and that is something that is said, again, like I say, to keep the door shut on women. But you know, in an educated society, those kinds of lines cannot work any longer. You know why? Because we have statistics, we have the facts to show otherwise. We have the Prime Minister in Finland, I believe it is, a very young lady again in Finland, dominated, Quincy, by female parties, dominated by female parties. And so we know that women can lead. Women leaders are working out quite fine. We've seen recently Kamala Harris elected in or appointed, people say not elected, appointed, but the fact that the president of the United States had confidence in her to make her the first historic Black and Latino vice president. We know that we've had the Iron Lady, since you want to talk about logic.
Margaret Thatcher.
What about from Dominica? We had our own Margaret Thatcher. Her name escapes me now, but a very prominent dame from Dominica. You see? And these women demonstrated from time immemorial that women can lead. All across the Caribbean, we have seen our sister countries have, let us go to Barbados, where Mia Motley has basically, in my humble view, put the Caribbean on the map yet again in a way that we have never seen before since the Pinning and Manly Doe's era. So we know that women can get in there and get the job done. In fact, Mia is going to lead Barbados, in her words, within a year, to the change of system that we are constantly advocating for. Yeah. Women will get in there, and women will not find excuses. Women will get the job done.
I just kind of want to let that sit for a minute.
Yes, Quincy, we will get the job done. And we have always gotten the job done.
Yeah. See, this is the issue for me, right? Okay. Okay, so we got 4 minutes left, so I don't want to embark on a new thread. But what I will say is, so if you can stick around until after the PM's address, we'll finish on the other side. But what I would like to say is that if anyone doubts the competence of Bahamian women vis-a-vis the political arena, all they have to do is just think about who gets people elected, right? I mean, women are the ones who organize the campaigns. Women are the ones that beat the streets. Women are the ones that write the speeches. Women are the ones that tell you what to talk about and when. Women are the ones who identify which house you need to go to first on every street. Women are literally, without the Bahamian woman, you cannot win a constituency, much less win a general election. So they have, our Bahamian women have proven their competence in the political arena, election after election after election after election. And yet, we still find ourselves in 2022, as 2022 approaches, we still find ourselves having to argue that women deserve to be on the ticket in numbers that are representative of their position in the society. And I find that fascinating.
Absolutely. I just remember Eugenia Charles, the name come back to me.
All right, ladies and gents, on the other side of this break, we're gonna try and talk a little more about Women United and what they are all about, how they're going to advance the women's agenda, particularly the agenda of women in the political arena as a general election comes up. So we'd ask you to stick around for that, but we're going to step aside right now to make room for the Prime Minister, Dr. the Honorable Hubert Minnis, who I believe is going to make a national address at 5 o'clock. So, Austin, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. If the PM speaks for less than an hour, then we will pick up the balance of that time, because the show ends at 6 o'clock. And so if he's less than an hour, we'll come back and have the rest of this conversation. If not, God bless. And
thank you for having us. Thank you.
We find up and jump to the base. I make it in a life I inherit as the means them clear. Self-employed cannot get clear. But I work me up, can't even get a day off. Who do you want to stop me now? Them find out, say them way up. All right. Come and say one by one, one by one, one by one, we stepping out of Babylon and then one.
There may come a time when you are asked to self-isolate. But what does that mean? Someone who self-isolates stays at home in one room because he or she has tested positive for COVID-19, but is well enough to be out of a hospital setting. This person uses a separate bathroom from others in the house. Only one designated person should provide care to the individual. During this time, no visitors are allowed, and these steps are taken to reduce the risk of spreading the disease. Persons living alone who are required to self-isolate cannot leave their homes. If there's a need for medication or food, a family member can assist. Otherwise, health officials and social services will ensure that the person's basic needs are met. Know the name and dosages of medications prescribed in case a refill is needed. A healthcare professional will assess the individual daily via telephone. They will monitor symptoms and collect information. If there's a need for hospitalization, the healthcare professionals will arrange transportation to a healthcare facility.
This message has been brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Prime Minister, the most honorable Dr. Hubert.
Prime Minister,
the most honorable,
ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon.
Minister. The national COVID-19 picture in the Bahamas has mirrored the global pandemic. Each phase, beginning March 2020, has presented with unique challenges across our archipelago, given our many international ports of entry and our tourist-dependent livelihood. The medical teams and local health structures have responded to the pandemic in a commendable manner. At this point, we have identified new models of care for addressing the pandemic. We are currently in a third wave of the COVID-19 virus infections, and I am pleased to report that the monitoring system has been strengthened significantly over time, and we now have increased skills, more resources, and greater capacity to address the changing presentation of this COVID-19 in our islands. Further, we now have a new opportunity with the COVID-19 vaccine to manage this pandemic. The dashboard provides an update on the progress of the national COVID-19 vaccine campaign. Starting today, this weekly dashboard will track the total number of first and second doses administered nationally and by island. Other data will be added as needed. This afternoon, I'm very pleased to report that as of Friday, the 21st of May, a total of 50,242 doses of the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine have been administered to Bahamians and residents on New Providence, Grand Bahama, and throughout the Family Islands. The total number of doses include 44,226 first doses and 6,016 second doses. 4,893 of the second doses have been administered in New Providence, and 1,123 second doses in Grand Bahama. Following a successful rollout in the Family Islands last month, we expect to start administering second doses in the islands during the month of June, in accordance with the recommended 8 to 12 week spacing between doses. As you can see from the dashboard, first doses of the vaccine have been administered on a total of 14 islands and keys. At this time, I wish to acknowledge the major contributions of the Rhode Island National Guard, the Ring, and the Air Ambulance Services for their support in the Family Island rollout. I'd like to recognize the Royal Bahamas Defense Force for providing security for the vaccines and staff over the entire vaccination campaign. Many islands have not reported cases of COVID-19 for many days. We are pleased with the islands whose residents have come out in large numbers to receive the vaccine. In particular, the residents of Grand Bahama should be congratulated. The data show that the vaccine campaign there is working. If you follow the track of the yellow case, the incident and cumulative cases by every week. To date, hospitalizations are at a low level and there are no ICU admissions. The national COVID-19 vaccination campaign has been ongoing now for 9 weeks. It began in mid-March with a distribution plan by priority groups. Persons 60 years of age and older and members of the uniformed branches. You would see that the uptake among the 60 and above age group was very strong. That's your green line. We see here that the beginning of the campaign, this was 52%. However, in the past week, 76% of those receiving the first dose of the vaccine were between the ages of 18 and 50. And if you would track the red line, as you see the upward movement of the line, you look at the pale blue, and you see the upward trend of the uptake of the vaccine over time. It is noteworthy that this uptake is increasing and is expected to continue in the following weeks. We also take note of the data of the uptake among specific... We wish to encourage all who are eligible to take the vaccine. Protect yourselves, protect your loved ones, and prevent the spread of COVID-19, particularly the frontline workers. We are making progress, but we are still in the pandemic. When you look at the incident and cumulative cases by every week, you see that there are 11,552 COVID-19 cases recorded in the Bahamas. The pandemic is not over. Vaccinations continue to play a critical role in preventing the spread of COVID-19. However, health officials remain concerned about the new variants of COVID-19 identified in the United Kingdom, South Africa, Brazil, and India. Studies show that these new variants spread more rapidly and are affecting younger people. The latest data show that nationally, hospitalizations are decreasing, as are ICU admissions. However, we note that COVID-19 is new in its behavior and has changed its properties over the last 15 months. This is no longer a virus that affects your dad. It is now infecting younger persons. As you see here, more young people are contracting the virus. More young people are becoming seriously ill. More young people are being hospitalized, and some are dying from the virus. We sadly report that there have been a total of 226 COVID-related deaths. Health teams are currently managing outbreaks in the Berry Islands, Cat Island, North and Central Andres, and we're using a model developed by ourselves with a strategic combination of contact tracing and aggressive vaccination. On the Berry Islands, the index case originated from a church event. There are 24 active cases of the COVID virus on Bullock's Harbor. We must contain the spread of this virus. On the island of Andros, there were 9 new cases reported in a single day. This is significant. The health team is presently conducting contact tracing and vaccination on the island at this time. On Cat Island, there are 33 active cases of the COVID-19 virus. 109 residents are in quarantine. 7 of the 13 persons under investigation tested positive today. As you look at the map here, the island has a positivity rate of 58%. 7%. 7 persons were airlifted to New Providence for urgent medical care, and 6 remain hospitalized. Shows how the virus is affecting the younger population and children under 9 years of age. We now have access to the COVID-19 vaccines and treatments to help us fight the transmission of this virus and to support the medical care of COVID-19 cases. We are fortunate to have received COVID-19 vaccines when there is a worldwide shortage. To date, we have received 87,200 doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine. This includes 20,000 doses from the government of India and 67,200 prepaid through the COVAX facility with the assistance of the Pan American Health Organization and the Inter-American Development Bank. The Bahamas is also expected 3,600 doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine through the COVAX facility by the end of this month. This week, I'm pleased to tell you that we are offering more than 9,000 COVID-19 vaccine appointments. This includes first and second doses. Online appointments are available this week from Tuesday through Friday at the Kendall G.L. Isaacs National Gymnasium, Loyola Hall, Gladstone Road, Barmah, Church of God of Prophecy, East Street, and St. Anselm's Church Hall on Burnett Road. Walk-up appointments are also available at the Kendall Isaacs Gym, Barmah, Church of God of Prophecy, and St. Anselm's Church Hall. While the transfer of data between digital platforms made it difficult for some to make an appointment for the second dose of their vaccine, help desks have now been set up at each vaccination center to assist those having difficulty making an appointment. We expect this technical glitch to be in the coming days, and we appreciate the public's patience and cooperation during this time. As part of our campaign strategy, we will be partnering with various youth and community organizations to encourage uptake of the COVID-19 vaccine. And this coming weekend, on Saturday, the 29th of May, we will be partnering with Bahamas Harvest Church, Mount Tabor Church, and New Destiny Baptist Church to host a vaccination blitz. To make an appointment online for one of the Saturday sites, visit vax.gov.bs and click on the site. We are pleased with the progress of the national COVID-19 vaccine campaign. We could not do this without the help of so many healthcare workers, volunteers, civic and religious groups, and members of the public. We are particularly indebted to the efforts of Mr. Ed Fields, who provided logistical support with the Family Island rollout, Mr. Rasson for coordinating the volunteers, and our technical and data lead, Dr. Danny Davis, in addition to all the members of the committee who are working tirelessly to ensure a successful campaign. The public health staff at the Ministry of Health has made this campaign successful through their commitment, dedication, and skill set navigating throughout the archipelago. They are truly to be commended. We appeal to you to continue to follow the Ministry of Health and Office of the Prime Minister's social media platforms for updates on the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccines. I thank you. Now, the Honorable Prime Minister.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Dr. Dalrygis, for your presentation, your service, and your ongoing counsel and advice. Our nation remains grateful to you for all you have done and continue to do. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a small island developing country. Successive administrations over the years have worked to provide healthcare resources to our many communities and settlements on our many islands.